You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, dog fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank, presented by iHeartRadio, right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt, and the only podcaster to lead the league in receptions and bowl a perfect game. Look it up. OJ McDuffie. Juice, how we feeling, man?
Is that factual?
It is until someone proves it wrong.
Damn right it is, man. That's
if
good
someone
stuff,
can
man.
Find that out,
They
can have it.
I'm doing great, man. You know, me, Big Seth, you know, we get into the building. We always talk about, you know, getting into the building, man. But today's guest, obviously, is one of the guys that we've been hunting down, man.
Been hunting down. Hasn't been in the fish tank since 2018. But at that point, he wasn't the 11th member of the Miami Dolphins to enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer Zach Thomas, welcome back to the Fish Tank.
Hey, good to be back, man.
Yeah, how you feeling?
I feel good.
Riding high, yeah.
still, Big Seven.
You
see it, right?
Yeah, I mean, how could you not be? You know what? There's so much to talk about, and we're going to get into everything, but I have a bone to pick with you first,
and I think
you know where I'm going with this. So I'm fired up. I'm watching NFL Honors, right? This has got to be the year, and of course, they call you last, so they build the drama because they know that Dolphins Nation is like, they're thirsty for this thing. You come out there, everybody's going nuts. My phone's blowing up. I'm sure yours is, Juice. Juice and I already, we're like planning, oh, Zach's going to come back in the fish tank. Like, of course he is. We're going to be first.
Sure.
I stay up late. I watch, you know, the communication staff, Ann Nolan and Brett Breckheisen, and they get it all figured out. And you're talking to the South Florida media. You look like a champ. I've never seen you look so good. And you're doing everything. And I'm like, Juice, we're going to get him. We're going to get him on the show. And then like 20 minutes later, Ann's texting me. And she's like, hey, Zach kind of wants to lay low now. He's kind of, and you start backpedaling. You start doing that thing. You're going right back into obscurity. Nobody did it better. And he's going to just start fading off. Somehow he thinks he can hide from the world, Juice, because now he's a Hall of Famer. He can hide. And I said, okay, I understand it. That's him. That's his personality. And I'm driving in the car like 4 days later, and I turn on, and you're on with Hawk and Crowder. I'm like, what the hell is this about? Then Joe Rose calls me that night, and I go, what's going on with Joe in the morning? Like, you do a whole media tour. I mean, what's the deal?
Well, I called Juice even.
I had to talk him off a ledge, Zach.
I called Juice, and I told you, hey, I'm just trying to rattle Seth. Because you know you were assigned to me back in 1996.
96, right.
And when was I ever easy when dealing with the media?
Never. Well, 96.
Okay.
That was it.
Actually, why are you so surprised?
Before you were named the starter. Yeah, you know that story.
Right, right. Then Harvey takes over.
The pecking order, and then everything else was me. And so they thought that I was going to work with Zach until, you know, about 2 weeks in. Jack Del Rio's gone, and I couldn't talk to you for the rest of your career.
But hey, you were assigned to me, for then on out. So
yeah, it was quite a wild ride, man. But
we can't just let this. He was really in his feelings. Zach.
Good,
yeah,
good.
You got it. Yeah, you got it.
That's what I was trying to do.
Hey, you
know you're both friends.
Yeah, right.
And so you knew I was going to do the show.
Wait, this how you treat your friends?
Hey, that's exactly. Okay. It's all love.
Okay,
you're good. Hey, just like you threw
must
a shot
the hell out of us.
You just took a shot at me right at the bat. It's the first question. So is that what?
I just, you know, it was my first opportunity to sit in front of you. Your texts are on do not disturb and the whole thing. So
we appreciate it. You text me every day and I text back, don't I? So we're good.
This is true. We are good. So let's move into this thing. We all got to see the moment. The Hall of Fame did an unbelievable job. I mean, the Knox and the hotel were really cool, but what they did this year was incredible. And obviously we have a bias. But I think everybody's seen it now, and what an incredible moment to see you walk into your house. You know, mom takes you out to lunch. Yeah. You think that it's just a normal lunch with mom, and you're walking up the stairs in your house like you've probably done a million times, and there's Jimmy in his gold jacket. We saw your reaction. We all felt it. Your whole family's standing there. I mean, everybody, you know, Bart flew in. I bet you probably didn't even know he was in town. Katina's there. The kids, everybody's there. Tell us what we didn't see. Like, what were you feeling in that moment? Everything that had to kind of build up to that moment, what's going through your head?
Well, I mean, I was surprised. And it was very emotional. you know, going up the stairs, I couldn't breathe. And so that's why I was moving like a penguin, man, going up like this side to side. I couldn't even get up the stairs.
Wow.
And but it was powerful because of Jimmy. Jimmy's my guy. He gave me the opportunity, and he started me after the first preseason game, yeah. You know. And so I owe him everything. And you know, I didn't fit the part either. So for him just to throw me in from the jump was respect. And, you know, but to my family being there too, because they've known me for, you know, well, didn't know me, but they, I played for 28 years
yeah.
of football, and they were along the journey the whole time.
Right.
And they were very supportive. My parents gave me every opportunity to succeed. And so I rode their backs for a long way, but they knew how much I loved the game. I was obsessed with it. So for them to be there and enjoy that special moment was awesome.
And are you thinking about all that in that moment? Like, I mean, you know, clearly you were just overwhelmed with emotion, but like, is all of that running through your head at that point in time? Because I know when I did talk to you, you were like, I'm still kind of in a daze.
Yeah.
So how much is that motor just running and you're thinking about all, you know, people talk about your life flashing before your eyes. How much of that was going through your head in that moment?
It's like everything came all at once, you know, and I'm very grateful. The game's been so good to me. And but yeah, it's a blur when I look back at it. But a special moment. They got it all on video. And yes, I cried.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
But
we know it won't be the last time.
No, it won't. But it played out perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what was running through my mind, Big Seth, was that when he played against Penn State at one game in Happy Valley, and he had like 40 tackles against us. Man,
yeah.
And how much I didn't like him at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I met him at Walter Camp, realized how much I loved the guy. And then
right.
next thing you know, he's a Dolphin, man. So it was like, you know, it's a love-hate relationship with Zach Thomas. So I hope that was running through your mind as well, Zach. You know
hey,
what I mean?
You're saying in that moment when he's hugging, I love you, coach, that he's
right.
thinking about you and Happy Valley.
That's right.
I'll have
right.
to say this. That was wide. The field goal was wide. They won the last they won the last second of the game. And it went wide. And so I was bitter. He wasn't
you
mad.
You let it go.
I haven't let it go. I mean, that was to open up the season.
The ultimate competitor.
They were number three in the country at the time, and, yep. and they got a field goal at the very end of the game to win it.
So you know but, you know what his motivation is now. That was his motivation.
That was it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then to see you at the Walter Camp, that was awesome. Yeah, you and Kajana there just welcomed me like I'm your boy already. And then next thing you know, we're neighbors, we're friends. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yo, Zach, he tried to introduce himself to me, Big Seth. And I'm like, come on, man. You know, I still don't like you because of what you did to my team.
Yeah.
You know, we were good after that.
Well, I'm glad you
after that weekend was over, we became real cool after
I'm
that.
I'm glad you're able to get past that. Yeah. And I'm sorry that caused you to cry in this important moment when you're walking up the stairs. But what happens after? So when the cameras turn off, like, do you guys, I mean, is it a celebration? Or are you just kind of like overwhelmed and I need some space? Like, what happens after?
After the surprise?
Yeah, after the surprise, you do all the things that you had to do for the cameras.
Well,
and
I went and got Jimmy a beer.
Okay.
And made sure.
I hope it was Heineken.
Yeah, it wasn't a Heineken. Yeah. It was a Modelo. So
but you didn't know he was coming.
Quality.
Yeah.
It's quality, though. You got quality.
Yeah, it wasn't domestic, but it was. He was happy with it, so we sat there and just reminisced and you know exaggerate old stories and stuff like that. You know,
outstanding.
So
that's what we're
was awesome.
For.
Awesome.
You know, you, earlier Seth mentioned the NFL honors. You know, that was obviously an incredible night. But you were sitting on this for a couple of days, bro. You know, you had you know you were sitting on it for a couple of days. And now when NFL honors are on, you finally get a chance, you know, to go out there and celebrate it. You know, not only that, with your former teammates, but now also with your new gold jacket teammates, man. How was that, man? For one, having to sit on it for a few days.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously, you know, when that moment happened, when you came on stage.
Well, looking back, we sat on it for 2 weeks. Even my kids.
Was it 2 weeks?
How about my kids? They kept
it
all secret. I mean,
because they go to school.
Yeah,
next day.
I think my dad told a dentist back home or something. It was just.
I know you, Thomas, is in secrets
man.
Now.
I know you're exactly right. But that night before the announcement, I'm standing backstage with Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith. I mean, Kurt Warner. Just talking football, and I'm just like, man, these are legends, you know. And now I'm part of that team. It's very humbling. At the end of the night, I remember looking at my phone, and it was like 600 texts and climbing, you know. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And it took me about a week to get back to everybody.
Right, I can get over myself now if it was 600.
Exactly. Well, well, Seth sent back three times. Yeah, like he's hey, I'm so proud of you. The same text over and over.
I just kept hitting Seth.
So, yeah. I'm liking it. So that's why I kept climbing. It was all Seth. But it was pretty cool because it reconnected me with a lot of old teammates and then coaches and distant family.
Of course.
Yeah, so it was cool.
How much of a whirlwind is it? Because I know you like things to be routine. You kind of have gotten into your soccer dad life and everything, and now you're whisked away and you're at the Super Bowl and NFL honors and this press conference and that, and then they're measuring you for your jacket and your bust and all that other stuff. How much of a whirlwind is it to like have all that? I mean, your life is interrupted in the best of ways.
Yes.
But what is that like for you, a guy who really likes things to be a certain way?
Oh, hey, you know me. I'm a routine guy.
Yeah.
And so it's a little uncomfortable going out of your comfort zone. I mean, it throws off your workouts. You know, I got to get my workouts. I'm a mental head case when it comes to workouts. But I feel like that's the reason, even from a young kid,
right,
I couldn't miss a workout. Even with my family, like we're going on vacation, I wasn't missing a workout. I'm like, hey, does the hotel we're staying at have a good gym? Or I'd take dumbbells with me, you know? And so it was just always. And so I'm the same way today. And so even when you're out there, out of your schedule, it does throw you off a little bit. But, hey, it's a good thing, like
you
said.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it, right? And then, you know, and it doesn't stop. And it won't stop until August. And again, all for the right reasons. But I think you were just in Canton last week or what have you. You know, they bring the incoming gold jackets in and you kind of do your tour now that it's your house. And I remember being there in 05 when Marino went in and you're playing in the Hall of Fame game. There's this great picture, Juice, of Urlacher and Zach and JT because we're playing the Bears and you guys are just standing in the Hall of Fame because they give the players a tour. And now you guys are going to be there forever. What was it like going back to the Hall last week for the first time, knowing that this is your forever football home?
Yeah, you know, in Canton is a little small town. You know, Canton being from Ohio and the people out there, man, super friendly. I don't know if it's because I'm a Hall of Famer now, but they super friendly. The handshakes, the eye contact, it's so cool to be out there. But to go through the room of busts was awesome. All the linebackers you look back at, you got Junior in there, you know, got JT in there. Just Mike Singletary, I could keep going, Derek Brooks, all these guys, Ray Lewis, Urlacher, who you just mentioned. I mean, like, wow, that's a special family. And, you know, but just like I said earlier, we all rode on somebody else's back just to get there. So that's what I'm out there to represent, all our teammates and coaches along the way. And people help me, you know, because I didn't do this all by myself. And I'm very grateful for that.
Did they show you like, okay, this is where the class of 2023, where the busts are going to go?
Yeah, they did. And I don't know if they got enough room on that wall. Yeah.
That's a big block.
That's a lot of bronze.
It is.
Value's going up.
Yeah, Blair is doing the measurements.
Yeah. Is he going to do yours?
He did my measurements already, but yeah. I didn't break records, all right?
Jonathan Ogden,
he's got a body for Jonathan Ogden's got a body
he's
for
6'8".
I ain't got that. I mean, I'm like a bobblehead or something.
Yeah, buddy. If you're second to Jonathan Ogden.
Yeah, that's not good.
A bobblehead. Oh, that's pretty
funny. They all look the same, though, when it's just the bust, though, you know, right?
That's a lot of bronze.
You got some big heads out there. But
the little plexiglass shelves that they sit on, some of them are, like, reinforced.
I'm trying to see if I should smile. What would you think? Smile or be more
Do you
like
get to make that
game.
Decision?
You
or
get
or
to make that decision.
I think
decision.
You should go with the smile you had when we were playing basketball and somebody fouled you. and you wish they would. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
That smile right there is kind of
like
bold.
Bold.
It's like,
I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you had my back always
all
out
day.
There, especially when there's a hard foul.
Yeah, all day, man. So. I mean, we got to protect our prized possession, man.
Still gotta go
we got some of these guys that come out there to play. They can't play like that. But plus, I was worried about them getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They hit Zach. They might get hurt.
This seems like a little. Oh, you were worried about them getting hurt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's so funny because Seth mentions that 05, you know, man, you guys were in the Hall. And you were, at that point, you were in your 10th season. And I mean, you had to be, you know, you were already had a legendary career at that point. At that point, were you thinking like, start thinking about your place in history? And did you ever think that one day you're going to be right there with some of those guys, some of those busts?
Well, back in 05, what you were mentioning when we were out there, and then we were there for the induction of Marino, I never would have thought that I'd be on the same team again with Dan. But even, I remember coming in as a rookie, and you know Dan's presence. He's a legend, you know? And I remember telling him, hey, man, I remember watching you back when you first came in the league when I was in the third grade, right? So he's like, hey, you're showing my age.
He loved hearing that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. So think about that. And then I'm going in with Dan the man. But I was always in the moment. Because I always wanted to be, even if I was playing well, be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that was me playing, you know, mind games with myself just to get the best out of my prep. And if I feel like if you look back at everything while you're playing, you can't really enjoy the ride if you're going to try to get the best out of yourself. And that was the one thing I kind of understood, not earlier on, but later on, that you had to really be, you know, in the moment at the time to get the best out of your prep and best out of your play. Because it's a short window, man. And that window, even if, you know, played 13 years, it went by like that. And so you got to know that's just a little bit of time of sacrifice, you know, for a lifetime of pride.
Do you start to recognize that more as you get, you know, those first few years, right? You're just trying to establish yourself and build that name. But like Juice is talking about in 05, now you're talking year 9, year 10. Do you start to understand that that window is even – and 10 years in this league. I mean, it's unbelievable.
At that position as well.
Especially at that position and the way this guy
played it. Yeah.
But do you start to even, everything you just said about understanding that short window, do you start to embrace that even more because you start saying, man, what is the longevity here now, 10 years into this thing?
Right. You're always looking at, it didn't matter if I had 5 more years, you're looking at the finish line because, you know, we always went on from high school to college to pro, right? Well, there's no
after that, yeah.
You know? And so for me, I always, I feel like in that 10th year, you start to get smarter and you both know the locker room. I was more efficient with my time when I got there because I knew if I was more efficient at work, I'd have more rest time at home. And so I get in there and instead of watching 10 replays of SportsCenter, you know, or in the corner with the dumb talk, you know, the dumb talk.
Oh yeah.
I was part of that dumb talk as a young rookie. But you waste so much time in the facility. And so instead of doing all that, I was like, hey, getting some prehab in, getting some weight room in, some film in. And that's when I feel like you figure it out, but your body starts to let you down. But at that time, I feel like 2005, I'm peaking, man, with my prep. And that's what I miss most.
You know, I talk about, I say this to people all the time, like Zach, even before, like nowadays where they get breakfast, lunch, and dinner here if they want it. You were one of the only guys that was ordering dinner here. You know what I mean? Because it was hard. It was hard to take film home back in the day.
Well, ordering it from the coaches or
whatever it was. Whatever it was.
You were sneaking it down.
But he was staying here eating all those meals, you know, while you were here where a lot of guys were gone.
Yeah.
Out of the building, man. And we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, how much film study you did, man. But that's what you're talking about. You were doing that really early in your career where a lot of guys in their early 20s were out. Living in South Florida, yeah. They're out. You know yeah. what I mean?
I feel like, and I wasn't really smart earlier in my career. You know, I got away with it, you know, because of my youth. But even prep, I wasted a lot of time and watching film. But you start to, with experience, man, you start to understand it. Knowing what can help you in the game. And when you start understanding, that's pretty cool. But
you always were
always here. Always here, all the time.
Like, you know, I know the line you said to one former Miami Dolphins head coach, I'll be there when you get in the morning, and I'll still be here when you
that's
leave.
That's right.
But you were, saying is that absolutely. You were doing that even as a rookie. You just maximized the time more.
More efficient, like you said. And even if I was wasting the time early on in my career, mentally on the field, you feel like you still at that edge because, you know, you're really prepared. It's like studying for a test, man. You're ready to go take it. And that's where I feel like I got the best out of myself. And it was more for between the ears than even knowing one play because all it takes is one play. One play from that prep that's a game changer, right? Like you could have a bad game, but one great play and then nobody's going to remember all the rest of it. And that's
well,
what
depends how bad that bad play.
That's true.
No, you're right. Weigh those that good and that bad. And just to clarify what you're saying, when you said you got more efficient with your time or you didn't waste time, you didn't shorten the amount of time you were in the building. You
right.
were still in the all these hours. You just got the most out of that time.
Right. I got the most out of it. Just got more where I could get home. And I could do the hyperbaric chamber. I could get the massages.
Yeah, that
I could do the stress therapy.
Doing all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And so it definitely helped me in the long run. And even to play, you know, longer in my career, the concussions is what got me. Because I felt like the way I took care of my body, I could have played another at least five.
Yeah.
But concussions got me. And I couldn't be as the same as, you know, as aggressive.
Right. Yeah, it's funny you talk about the dinners and ordering food. Him ordering food would be like, hey, Seth, what are they serving in the coach's lounge? It's Longhorn night.
Longhorn Thursday.
You got to sneak a plate down there.
Get the salmon and filet. Oh, yeah, that was good.
They're doing it like that up there. Oh, yeah. Huh? Well, you couldn't go up there yourself because other players would be like, what's that doing upstairs?
So, you know, you talked about the amount of time that you played and, you know, you could have played longer, what have you, but you retired when you did. You became eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2014, and then it was kind of the waiting game. And I remember talking to you early on, and you're like, look, I'm not, if it happens, it happens. I'm not going to get caught up in it. But there was a period of time that you had to wait, you know, that you had to wait. And I think it was it like 6 years in before you made it to be a finalist, and then 4 years in a row, you're a finalist. That first year, you did the whole, they were still doing the hotel thing mm-hmm. and the knock, and you had the whole, and it was here. It was in South Florida, and you had the whole family there. And I know year two, you were like, that's a lot. Like, you know, the family can catch up if and when I get in. But, Juice, I don't know if you even know this. So in the second year of his being a finalist, Zach was in my office. He was helping me out with one of my other 25 podcast projects. And he was sitting in my office, and the phone rings, and he looks down. And he's like, oh, this is David Baker, who was the president of the Hall of Fame at that time. He goes, I got to take this. I'm like, yeah, you got to take it. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, I'm going to be here for the moment. Like, this is the moment. I'm going to be here for it. And it wasn't the call that you wanted at that time. Probably better for television history that you got the Jimmy Johnson walking up the stairs crying than sitting alone with me.
Crying on your shoulder.
Oh, my God. Yeah, can you imagine what a waste that would have been? But talk about that call, because I could hear, you know, you, for whatever reason, your phone's so damn loud. But I could hear a little bit about what David Baker was saying. And I felt like at that moment, even though he was telling you no, it almost seemed like it became more a matter of when and not if at that point.
Yeah. You know, even at that time, though, I mean, it's all perspective, how I looked at everything. Because just like I keep mentioning, we rode the backs of so many others, and you're only here because of that. And to be in the conversation, I'm like, I won, man. I wasn't ever looking at it, like, even if I didn't make it, just to be in the conversation, to make it as a finalist, I looked at it as like, man, you know where I came from. Yeah. A small town, man. Like, you think I would even think one day I'd be in the conversation? I didn't even know I'd be able to make it
to
the NFL.
Are you the first Pampa harvester that will make it to the Hall of Fame?
Yes. First Texas Tech Red Raider, too.
Really?
Wow. But not going to be the last, you know.
Right.
And so,
I like that. Right.
But I tell you, it was just, to me, how it's all perspective, how you look at it. And I didn't let ego get in the way because, man, there's so many more factors that make you the player you are.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're a great receiver, Juice, if you don't have a quarterback or an offensive line to block for that quarterback, right? So that's the only reason you're great. It's a team game, an individual award. So I never lost that where game owes me something. You kidding me? That's not me. You know that. And so I never wanted to go out. That's why I never went out to campaign. You're not going to hear me campaign or any of that. It's easy to say now. But did you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you hear me?
No.
And I'm not that guy
because
I know there's more to it, man. You got to get lucky in the lucky situation, the system that I got put in from the beginning, and you got to have a coach that believes in you, you know, and then your players to believe in you. And that's what I feel like I just got. It was lucky. It was a little luck. Yeah, I understand.
That's a part of it all.
You can give yourself a little credit.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
You made a player.
We know better. Yeah.
You made a player too.
Hey, thank you.
Sure. Did you ever doubt, though? Like, I understand everything that you're saying. But did you ever think about, or was it not even the type of thing that you think about? That, you know, like, okay, he gave you that call. This will be the year you're a finalist again. Do you feel like you're on the treadmill? Do you think it'll ever happen? Or did you start to believe, okay, my time will come?
I believe my time will come because the more you're a finalist, and what was it, 3 or 4 years I was a finalist.
Yeah.
And that's when I started thinking about it. And then you think about it for maybe a week. It's the most prestigious honor, man. Yes. I'm not going to act like it's not. Like it didn't affect me. It didn't affect me, man. What can I do now? I wish I had that motivation when I played. What are you going to motivate? I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just it wasn't one of those that you lose sleep at night about, but it's the most prestigious honor. But I didn't want to take away anything from the guys that made it before me. You kidding me? It's all respect for these guys. And even the guys that haven't been in, they're in the conversation. Everybody could be deserving. And I'm not that guy. It's not me to compare, man. You
know? I'm just amazed that we went 25 minutes before the word respect came out.
Yeah, that's his favorite. I'm about to say that as well.
Very cool.
So, you know, so right after the big announcement, you know, I mean, after all, I mean, after you, these are Seth's words, right? After you stiff-armed us.
I like that.
I mean, they are my words.
I wouldn't have to stiff-arm Seth. He's not fast enough.
It's easy, man. He's going to go low anyways.
And I don't move my feet real well. It's all that.
He's going to get out of the way like a punter or kicker, you know? So you don't have to worry about it. You know, so we started working on the tribute episode for you. And I'm not sure if you heard it, but, you know, we talked to some of your former teammates. And one of the things that really came across from some of the guys, especially Izzo, was they were getting really defensive about the fact that they thought that everything was incredible about you because your reputation was just because of your preparation and that you're a student of the game. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way, too, because not only were you that, but you're just a badass dude. You know, you're a badass football player. For one, I saw you, you know, on a basketball court as an athlete. I saw you play fast football, you know, which was fun as hell, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I also saw you jump 6-foot walls. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So,
crashing your parties. Oh, yeah.
You were a badass linebacker and playmaker, man. So I too take, you know, personal issue with that. And sometimes, you know, people call you as an overachiever. I just call you the ultimate achiever. Like you talked about earlier, you know, you didn't waste any time doing what your workouts, your study habits, your nutrition, your chambers, your everything you did, it's propelled you to this point right now. So we all get a little upset, and Seth and Izzo for sure. Izzo was really mad as hell. So what do you say to those people that, you know, only think about your preparation is what got you here instead of realizing how badass you were as a linebacker and as, you know, as a football player?
I mean, I'll own that, like preparation. I mean, when I was playing, I always, with the overachiever label, I saw that as disrespect, right? Yeah. Same with try hard guy. Oh, I hated that.
Yeah, that's the worst right
Don't,
there.
Oh, man.
That's the worst
And
right
that's
there.
Where, hey, yeah. It helped motivate me. But now with preparation, that's part of the game.
That'd be right.
Right. And so, but you have to have talent to be in the NFL. We all know that. But, I mean, the way I look at it is more like if you're a strong guy and somebody just says, oh, he's a gym rat. Okay. Well, there's a reason.
Like, why is that negative?
Why is that? So right. for me, I mean, when I played, to hear all that, I would be pissed. But now that I'm Hall of Famer, who cares?
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I'll own it. You know, that's I'm right. like, yeah, man. My prep was good, man. That's the one thing I will, you know, pat myself on the back, man. My prep was good, man. And it was something, a skill I trained. But that's what I love about the game. It's the locker room, but I miss the prep.
Game plan is nice, right?
And you find one little thing on the tape. And if they just even line in that during the game, and they might be on the right hash, and you're like, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
That right there is like such a high, especially if you make the play, and you're like, I own this team, right? You know, and it could be one play out of 70 plays.
Yeah.
But it's just, that is what I miss. It's irreplaceable, you know?
You know, it's so funny you say that real quick, Seth, because I hear the story with Peyton Manning talking about.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in my playbook.
Yeah. Go ahead, Big Seth.
No, go. You got it.
Like, I'm hearing what Peyton Manning's saying about, you know, how he would check and then you would check. And then you would check and then it seemed like you were in his head, his playbook. Like, you were talking about your preparation, but he kind of figured that you knew exactly what the hell he was doing, too. One of the smartest guys ever played a game on the other side of football.
Yeah. And you know what? I had fun when we played up in Indy because it was quiet when the offense was
right.
Out.
Right.
Remember
you
telling me that.
Quiet.
That
makes
that.
A difference. And it's hard when you're playing here. And it's hard on him as well. But we played them in our division twice a year until they moved out. But you start to figure out their numbers But it doesn't matter because they have like they change colors in between a live color to a dummy color, you know, so you wouldn't know until maybe partway through the drive. But there were certain things, especially short yardage. They didn't have a lot of short yardage tape. So when it's short yardage, I remember this one play, they do a Y flex. He's outside the receiver and they bring in two backs and they're always 21 personnel. Well, 11 personnel. And they brought in 21. And so they put the tight end out wide. And on tape, for the last 2 years, they run the lead. And all I said, I'm not knowing, you know, I know they're going to the three tech. So I'm just like, yell lead right at the start. And I just see him like, and I blitz it. And hey, you know what? I'm like, if it wasn't a lead, I'm going to hit Marcus Pollard is going to be behind me or whatever. But I hit it, made the play, and just got up and just, I'm in your book, boy. I'm in your book all day. You know, and but that was one play.
Yeah, that's
so
all
maybe
took.
He's thinking that's all it takes is that one play. Yeah. And they thinking you're in their playbook. And I wasn't. Yeah. And you can't be thinking like that anyway. You got to react. Even if you know the play, you can overrun the play, right? So it's one of those that it was that chess match up there was really cool. But lining us up and everything, they made everything look the same. But lining us up just so we wouldn't give up the big play was what I feel like I did good with.
Yeah. And what about another guy that mentioned you in the Hall of Fame speech, Kevin Mawai?
Yeah.
He talked about, that's got to be that matchup right there you had to deal with a couple times a year as well. But he gave you so much respect. You know what I mean? And he said, talk about how tough that was. What about that?
Just say it in his induction speech is pretty cool. I mean, he's probably the reason I didn't go in earlier. but he was a beast, you know. And I remember the first time I played him, it's probably my worst game. It was out in New York. We started 3-0. We went out there. I can remember to this day. I just got comfortable, I guess, because I was playing good, man, in those first three games. And so I just remember getting humbled real quick. And I'm like, hey, this guy, because he could pull to the perimeter behind the line of scrimmage. If a center especially is trying to come directly out,
You got no chance.
None, you know, and especially when you're a line right.
Right.
But when you can pull around, but he can get around square, that's where, you know, his game was really good. Yeah. Because a lot of guys go out there pulling and he just kind of, their momentum take them out of the way. But he could be under control, get his hands on you. Yeah, he was good, man. And a lot of respect for him to even say that. Hey, trust me, he'll be in my induction speech, even though he's a Jet.
No doubt.
But he's going to be in my speech.
Yeah, we'll have to deal with that.
And one more thing, we had Izzo on in the tribute. He talked about how, you know, the first thing they talked about in New England was if we can't block this guy, we can't beat him. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, usually talk about we got to stop this running back, we got to stop this quarterback, we got to stop this guy. They said if they couldn't block you, couldn't get to you, we can't beat them. It's over.
Yeah.
You talk about a team that went on a run like no other, New England, and they had – that was their game plan with Zach Thomas.
Well, I think that's the biggest amount of respect. You know, I was out in the Super Bowl, and I saw Brian Daboll out there, and he came up to me, you know, congratulated me. But he said, hey, Zach, of all players, we had a play that was just called Crack Zach.
Crack
and I
Zach.
Thought I saw as respect.
It
and he says,
respect.
You remember the play? I'm like, yeah, David Givens.
Oh, you
I remember. Because
did you know it was called Crack Zach?
And he said that Belichick got in the team meeting and says, we're gonna run Crack Zach, and I don't care if we get 1 yard, but you're gonna go take him out.
Wow.
And so I just remember they ran it a couple times in the game. So I think the second time I just go right at David Givens and just blast it. I don't
just
know what
fun.
Yeah, just go at him And I don't know if they even picked up a yard, but that was respect right there for Bill Belichick to just say, hey, you're going to call a play just to kind of get in your head. I know Charlie Weiss, he was the coordinator there, so he always gave me fits, but they always had something for me in the run game, but had something in the pass game for JT. And JT always played great against Tom, man, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer, you know.
Yeah, just think about all these names you guys just threw out there. I mean, you talked about being in the Hall of Busts there. Mawai, Peyton, Tom Brady, JT.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I mean, there's a reason, right? It's not just the numbers you put up, but it's who you did it against. And I think that that's testimony right there for all of that. So let's go back to the film study really quick, or kind of. You have told me since your rookie year that you had a read that you were taught in high school by your high school coach.
Yeah.
And that you used that throughout your entire college career and in the pros, all the way through an entire Hall of Fame career, you use the same read that you learned in high school. So can you explain to us what that is and give this high school coach a little bit of love? Because that's pretty fascinating to me. You talked about how much you thought you knew how to play receiver, but you didn't know until you got to the league. And here you are taking something that you learned in high school and applied it to be one of the best linebackers that ever played the game.
Yeah, his name is Max Plunk, and I ran into him when I was a junior. I transferred schools, go to a bigger school to get a chance at a scholarship, and he pretty much got me labeled smart and instinctive, and, you know, you both know that.
Right. 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 Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So, hey, I said, look at you. Hey.
But, give you instinctive.
But I'll tell you.
You set yourself before, up on that.
Oh, yeah. But I know what I'm doing here, man. But here,
but not his first rodeo.
But try to not get too in-depth, but I'll try to make it basic. Was used to reads would be off of running back to lineman or lineman to running back were most reads. And his was a blur technique he wrote up on a napkin. And it wasn't to focus just on one guy. If you focus on the center, it'll be bad. He blocks back. They're pulling a guard the other direction. You already take a bad step. Same goes with the back. They take that offset and they try to get you so linemen get leverage on you. But it was all for that first step, and it was more of a blur. You're seeing 4 to 5 players, you know. But what's more important than that, I don't care if you don't align right. Alignment was more important than anything, because I don't care how fast your first step is or you read the play if you're aligned wrong. And I feel like that's where I won. I used to look at it like this, like if I could, I'm going in depth here, but if I'm the middle backer and I'm between the center and the guard, you're usually called a 10 position. Well, people are like, okay, you're aligned right. Well, no, it all depends. 1 inch, front, back, side to side. 1 inch, because you can take on blocks better. You can get over a block, a double team, a tackle coming up over you. If you're aligned 1 inch wider, right? But it all, how do you determine all that? For me, it was a feel. When they would come out and there, you know, it'd be a formation. That determines something. That tells you something. They have their tendencies. So maybe 1 inch here, 1 inch here. The depth of the back tells you something, especially with run pass. Yeah. The splits of the line, juice, tell you something. If they're wide one side, narrow on the back side, oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, the tight end to tackle tells you something. How wide they are from down a distance to body language. It was crazy, all the things. And you get this feel. And if you can figure that out, just 1 inch, oh man, it can give you over. You can take a better angle at another guard that's coming on you, things like that. That's what I was thinking of more than even the play that they're running. Wow. You know what I'm saying? On the take ons and stuff like that. So I feel like where they do say it's a game of inches.
Yeah.
The alignment for me, because
wow.
Everybody just thinks, oh, 10 alignment. And, you know, that's in walkthroughs, you know, the coach say, what do you have? A gap, C gap, right. Coach, I got this. Right. No, there's so much more to it. Like, even if you feel like it's a pass, where are you going to go? A little farther forward if you're going man, or you go a little farther back, you got the tight end. There's so many things that give you the best chance, where some guys just line up in that A gap and say, I got it. I know what I'm doing. That's not what it is. That's not where you win. For me, the game's changed today. But for my day, that was where I won.
I have to imagine alignment, though. The game has changed, but alignment is alignment, isn't
yeah.
it? I mean, with what you're describing,
right.
And, you know, my limited knowledge. You better be careful, though. You might start getting some coaching offers here.
Hey,
he's gonna you know he's going to disappear again. He's going to back into Homer Simpson, backing up into the bushes. He's going to be doing that right after this one.
But that's the walkthrough was more important to me than a lot of practice. And then, you know, juice, like walkthroughs was more, a lot of guys just, hey, it's kind of taking a break.
Right.
No, man. No. If I didn't do a walkthrough before practice, a lot of practice, I'd be rattled. I'd be rattled.
And not only that, but the show team, you get a little mad at them if they're not lined up the way.
Oh,
if, they're
yeah.
not, if you're not showing
Big
me
time.
What's going to be shown, what's real for Sunday, that's not going to work for you either.
Yeah, I abused them with that stuff. I was that guy. But they, you know, you're all friends.
Yeah,
you know, afterwards, you're hanging out having a beer together. But
easy to say now.
Yeah, easy to say now.
You know, as a wide receiver, like, you know, they don't play coverage like that. That's how they play coverage. You know, you watching the film, you know what I mean? So,
Well, that poor guy's just trying to hang on and
get
get to where you're at.
He's going through the motions.
To get to where you're at.
You know, so Zach, you know,
Nobody makes the Hall of Fame, obviously, without, you know, just a body of work that screams excellence. But there's also some signature moments. You know, so Seth and I, we're sitting back, we're thinking about our signature moment that we felt, you know, when it came to Zach Thomas. And we're going to share our moments with you, you know, and see if it stands out in your mind. But also want to hear what you feel about our signature moment for you, right? So mine, you know, signature moment came during your first game as a pro, September 1st, 1996. You celebrate your 23rd birthday by knocking the, excuse my French, shit out of Sean Jefferson. And I remember that like it was yesterday, because, you know, I was like, it was amazing because I look back at it and it seemed like everybody else was going one way, but you were going the other way.
Yeah.
Same way that Sean Jefferson was going. I think Sean thought he had a clear path. And next thing you know, I mean, it was bad. I love Sean, but man, that day was a bad day for him, man. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, how were you feeling when you made that play? Because it seemed like, I said, it seemed like the rest of our defense was going this way. Zach Thomas was going that way, same way Sean Jefferson was going. And boy, that was a hell of a collision.
I tell you what, my first game.
Yeah.
And what I remember, this might be too much, but when a lineman's coming to take me on, that's where I was talking about body language earlier. He's not going hard. He's trying to get you to run like you're running. They're running a press. And so then he just waits on you. So when you see him come out kind of like not really trying to get you, he's trying to seal you. So he came out like that. And I said, oh, this is reverse. Boom. And I was gone. You know, so it was just certain things like that. But that focus in that first game, because I feel like when you can get that laser focus, you don't have it every game. But that was my first game. I was so hyped, you know, during the national anthem. Like, man, I made it, you know. And so it was like, that focus, I wish I had that focus every game because it's inconsistent. But that's why you prepare, to try to get as close as you can to those type of games, because there were certain games you had that focus where you could see out to the tackles when you're looking straight ahead, or some games that would be here like
right,
this,
right,
looking through a tube, and then you're like, man, how do I get this? But that laser focus, I had that first game, and that was just to make it to the NFL and having that opportunity, I wasn't going to, you know, take it for granted.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Big Seth, there's like, we talk about a game, but I saw it all through training camp, the way he worked, the way he moved, his instincts he talked about, man. You know, you saw it coming that he was going to be one hell of a linebacker.
And that was a camp where you could actually see guys hit.
Absolutely.
Because there were a lot of live
hits.
Oh, yeah.
Right away. A lot of that middle drive. Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't know any better, you know, right, when I'm being a rookie.
Well,
the veterans knew. They were like, what is
going
on?
What the hell is going on here? But that was not what was asked of everybody. Yeah. So you were doing what was asked of you for sure. So my signature moment came a few years later, December 30th, 2001. We were 9-5. We were tied with the Jets, and we were one game behind the Patriots. They were on a bye. So, like, the whole AFC East was at stake, and we had the Atlanta Falcons here at home. Chris Chandler was our starting quarterback, but they also had the number one overall draft pick just sitting there, and he was waiting, a guy by the name of Michael Vick.
Yeah.
You know, and so he was there, and he did ultimately get into that game. But you racked up 14 tackles. I got to read all this because the stat line is pretty long. 14 tackles, 1.5 sacks, a pass defense, and you spearheaded not one but two goal line stands in the second half, one that came with under a minute to go in the game, and it's a game that we ended up only winning by a touchdown.
Yeah.
So those goal line stands, you know, you talk about nothing comes down to one play, but you go and look at those goal line stands, and you had some big time collisions in those goal line stands. They had a guy by the name of Maurice Smith. They had a fullback named Bob Christian. And that, when I think about you and your career, like, that game symbolizes Zach Thomas, middle linebacker. What do you remember from that game?
I remember having the rhythm in that game. You know, you get that rhythm at times and you know, it flows well. But I do remember that goal line hit on 4th-and-1. And I got whiplash from it. Got a bone bruise on my C7. Mm-hmm. I couldn't feel my hand, and I'd have this excruciating pain going down. And so when we played Baltimore that year, remember, was that a couple weeks later?
I think this was like the second to last game, and then we had to play on Wild Card weekend. So
And I had a lot of hits that game too, and man, every hit just like almost felt like it was like down my neck, everything. I couldn't use my head, and so it took the off season to recover.
Oh, wow.
But I wasn't gonna miss a playoff game, man. I wasn't. I think I did miss a Buffalo game the following week because we already, qualified.
Yeah.
clinched pretty much. And so, but yeah, that hit right there. I remember making that hit and everybody jumping. I couldn't breathe. but it was that pain that went
your
all the teams way down
are
my
worse.
Neck.
Your teammates are worse than other teams sometimes, right?
Yeah. So that was one that, I'll remember forever. But it was a good game, yeah.
I didn't know all that.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember you running off the field, but I didn't know. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
There's hardly no way to treat that, but with rest.
Yeah.
You know, so that was tough.
Yeah. Man, yeah, he was always, man, please. You know me, you saw me in the front row, you know, the games when I was still.
One of those was in your end zone,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to my end zone. He always showed me respect in the end zone, man. They come out a ton of man when I was
there. That was down in your end zone.
Damn right.
That was right there.
Yeah, buddy.
That could have been right in front of you, too.
I think it's a beautiful thing.
It's crazy when you look back at it. It's silly to say, but I remember lining here, and then I went weak, and then that left it open where that's where they ran. But I hit it hard.
You set him up.
Came from the inside.
You set him up.
I did. I remember that. That's crazy, the things you remember.
Man, it's like, when you jogged
I don't remember all the plays of that game. I just remember kind of going weak a little bit to not have a clean shot at me, but came free on that one. Yeah.
Zach, man, can you really talk about, receiving the ultimate, individual honor in this game, man? You know, and not only that, man, but as a Miami Dolphin, the 11th Miami Dolphin going to the Hall of Fame, I mean, you're joining an elite group of men that represents the city, this franchise, the fan base, everything that you represent, man. I mean, what does that mean to you?
It means everything. Because, being 12 years here with the Dolphins, I made a lot of relationships, strong relationships, not just teammates. Seth, I mean, think about it. Stu. Yeah. I mean, I go around the whole building. Me and you, Stu and Izzo, will go Friday night moving a dinner.
Oh, yeah?
The mandates, right? Like, we just go out and cry during Titanic and stuff like that. Like, we always did movies every week, and that was what – but it's the relationships. If I go around that building that we had in Davie, if you go to the training room, I mean, you got Ben, you got Troy. It's just good people, man. Like, you go to the equipment room, Tony, Joe, Charlie, that's what it's about for me, because all that hard work, we saw the hard work, and you got abused, but it was love. But because you got assigned by Jason, another Hall of Famer,
right.
Assigned to him too. Yeah. So we got both of us together, two divas. But that's what it means to me, because everybody knows their part, and they're all everybody's I was mentioning was in my wedding. You know what I'm saying? That's the bond that it all started at the top, especially with Haziga. And now to Stephen Ross, I feel like it's always a family base, that it's not just the teammates. It's from the front office to the operations. Everybody is just family. And that's what I'm proud about. You know, it's definitely with Nat keeping everybody connected, Tom, always reaching out. And that makes me proud. As for Miami, I mean, they always have my back through all those years, and even the fans, man. Jim Porter, the president of the Hall of Fame, said, "I'm glad you went in, because we post anything." It didn't even have to pertain to like the Dolphins, and they would put Zach Thomas in. He said it was so annoying. But that's the love.
Sam for Perfectville's going nuts right now.
Oh, man. But I told him.
So
I said,
felt it. The president of the Hall of Fame felt the Miami Dolphins fans and the pressure.
Big time.
Oh, I love it.
And they all talk about it out there on the hall, staff and everything. And I told them it was me that anonymously accounts sitting in, like, "Hey, put Zach Thomas in."
You got that Twitter burner.
Yeah. So, but, that's what it's about. And then representing, your teammates here. And we all, I wouldn't change a thing, man. We went to battle with each other. But back to those relationships, it was awesome, man. It's awesome and proud to be, a Miami Dolphin going in and going in with JT and Marino and all that, 10 others pretty much. That's pretty special, man.
I'm saying there's one
I saw
thing
in the hallway there with the jersey. So
that'd
be cool
wait.
To get my jersey
I
up there.
I can't wait.
Cool.
I know you can't wait.
Yeah.
I think I saw somebody had your jersey on. They saw those jerseys and they had your jersey on through the back. And it's like, this is what's coming next.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what I mean?
That's cool. That was me too.
That was you too. It didn't look like you, but hey, it could have been. Who knows?
He's got his son Christian set him up with a burner.
Yeah, exactly right. It is pretty amazing how, you've played with other guys and other teams, and none of them have the same, they have the respect, but nobody
realized and talks about how great a job the Dolphins do with their former players, with an organization. It's like second to none.
Yeah.
It really is, man. You talk about Nat and Tom and Mr. Ross, man, but the player, everything about it is just the biggest family. I mean, we talk to guys that played on the perfect season team, all the guys that played this year and everybody in between. It's pretty impressive.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I mean, how we all stay connected. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. The whole family, that's how they get a family feel. It's not just, you know, you're done with the team, they're done with you. You know, it's they keep you connected. And I know I'm busy. Nat's always blowing my phone up, but I'm grateful for Nat because when I need something, I'm always calling.
I'm glad you stay clean. Yeah. I'm glad you stay clean though.
Always.
He made it sound like, oh, I pick up my phone anytime anybody calls.
It's so funny because when he does come out, he like sneaks up. You know, I'm in the suite. I'm like watching the game. He sneaks up and like, what's up, Juice? Like, oh, Zach's in the building. You know what I mean?
That's right.
We get it. Yeah.
That's
for sure.
That's great stuff. Really cool. Well, again, so thankful that you are here. I know we kind of gave you a hard time, or I gave you a hard time about the 17 interviews that you did before you got here back in the fish tank. But the truth is, you helped put us on the map, because back in 2018, you were one of the first guests we ever had. And, you know, if you didn't do that, who knows what we'd be doing something else, maybe.
Probably.
For sure.
Probably.
So we do appreciate that.
I'm surprised it's still going. No, I had to throw a jab back. But you know what? Hey, seriously, I've listened to every one of your podcasts, man.
I appreciate
and you know
that.
What? It reminisces. It makes me feel good, especially the funny stories. And I'll do a great job with that. I'm not surprised, man.
Appreciate you, both of you, man.
I'll give you love, Zach.
We love
it. It means a lot. And we are trying to maintain the integrity of what we did back in 2018 with you, but also grow and evolve. And certainly you see that this is probably the nicest. This is the nicest set we had since we were at his house.
Y'all upgraded. I guess we were zooming by then. Oh, you came to the house. That's right.
We came to your house for that one, and that's why you told us we'd never be invited back. Having said that, we did add a segment as well, and it's the 2-minute drill.
Oh yeah.
And so Juice always talks about how the offensive guys love the 2-minute drill, and they're trying to, you know, really, that's when they come alive and they're using the timeouts and calling the plays and working the defense and trying to score the touchdown. The defensive guys just want to get off the field. But I feel, Juice, like a Hall of Fame linebacker wants more than just getting off the field.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to, and I know you love hard-hitting questions, and I know you love being surprised. We're going to throw some things at you that are fast-paced. It's a 2-minute drill. We're going to start the clock. I see Eric's getting it ready. And you know, let's see how Zach Thomas handles the final 2-minute drill.
Well, I got this. I got Sam and Pat on the outside, JT, Trace rushing, Timbo in the middle.
I love it. All right. Clock is
running. 4 or 5 down linebacker here. You know he's on the field. You know what I mean?
Let's go.
So no matter what it is.
Sure we knew that as well.
Yeah, right. All right, here we go. As soon as you were named to the Hall of Fame, you did what we expected, and you gave credit to your teammates. So let's see what teammate really has your back, Zach. If you were in a barroom brawl, which teammate would be the guy you'd want on your side?
No question. That's easy. Tim Bowen.
Tim Bowen. I knew it was Tim Bowen, too.
Grown-ass man right there.
Grown-ass man.
Yeah, man. That's my guy.
He is definitely the guy you would not want to be on the other side of, for
right,
sure.
Right.
Okay, if you had to retake your SATs, which teammate would you want to help you with the test? And I'll just put help in quotes.
I took the ACT.
Okay.
And I did take it twice. I had to take it twice.
You do what you got to do.
So I don't want... I wouldn't want too big of a gap. It would throw up a red flag. So I'd say Izzo.
Wait a second. So you don't want like a Tim Ruddy or a Trace
Hardy?
Izzo's smarter than he looks, man, you know. So, hey, he went to Rice. So that's my guy.
Good point.
He is a smart guy. I like to bust his chops because that's my boy, you know.
He said he doesn't want too much of a gap.
No, I don't need that.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense.
Trace, Tim Ruddy, or any of that stuff, they're going to be like red flag.
1,500.
We're going to see if they're the same missed answers on all these tests. Right.
I love it.
All right. So what if you needed tickets to a red carpet movie premiere? Which teammate would you call?
Red carpet?
Yep.
This guy.
Big Seth?
Not me.
You know everybody.
Yeah.
You're
there,
man. I mean, not, you know, you're my teammate.
I call
you know everybody.
I call him all the time.
But if not, if it's teammate, it'd be you, Juice, because you know everybody as well.
But I can make a phone call for you.
Oh, you make the phone
call. I like it. You know what, though? I appreciate being a teammate.
Thank you for that. No, for sure.
We're all teammates.
I appreciate that. All right, here's a tough one. You need to pick one former teammate to win the tag team beer chugging championship.
Oh, God.
Who's your guy?
Shea Burton, man.
Oh, big Shea.
I forgot about the class that I
did. Monster, dude.
Yeah. Hey. Wow, that's a good one.
Hey, big Shane. Let me tell you, he could pound him. You know what? It's nothing to be proud about.
We'll call timeout because it's 2 minute drill.
Yeah, I'm rambling, but I got, you know, at the elbow room one time. I won a chugging contest, and it was versus old man with a white beard. Looked like Uncle Jesse on Duke's Hazzard. So it's like, I just remember, and I pounded that. They said, you won. They came out with a beach chair and an umbrella, and they gave me all this. And
it was a real contest.
It was a real contest. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I was very proud of it.
Yeah, well, damn right.
Because I was intimidated. This guy looked the part, man.
Yeah. He'd been doing it forever then.
Yeah.
Well, right up there with Pro Football Hall of Famer. I'm going to put elbow room beer chugging champion.
I think so. Put it right by the bust. Put the umbrella. I don't still have it, but I was proud of that moment.
That's too funny.
I thought it'd been Izzo, but that's okay.
Izzo had to get a good night's sleep because he's taking his SAT.
Izzo, when he pounded, he could pound, but he'd hold a beer in one hand and his nose in the other, go like that. It just don't look right.
You can't win like that.
No matter
if you do win, it's not right. It's just not right. Yeah.
Oh, he's not gonna be happy.
You know, well, speaking of Izzo, though, you know, he recently told us about the collision that you guys had, you know, and forced him into plastic surgery. What's the hardest you ever hit someone on the NFL field?
Well, back, let me get to Izzo. I know we're running
out of time. But, you got plenty of time, brother.
Like, you know, you used to, when they kick a ball and then you see a flyer going up and they get their head up, they're in trouble. I learned it from you. So I remember being in punt safe, they're blocked, and he's running down free as the up back, and he's looking up like he doesn't see me. I'm looking up like I don't see him, like over there. And then we just both, because I already know him.
Right. You know, he's going to try to get his shot.
And so I gave him the shot back, you know what I'm saying? And little did I know that it did put, you know, I'm proud of that moment.
I know you are.
Well, it's living with him for the rest of his life now because he's got a scar.
Yes. So, but to your point, I would go all the way back to high school, man. My best hit was a junior year quarterback that I hit. I hit him to the moon, man. It was like one of those hits that, but I remember the backup came in, threw a Hail Mary on the next play, and they tied us in the game. But
Should have left the guy in the game.
Yeah, we've had games like that. We didn't want to take the starter out, right?
Yeah, it was back to that Chris Chandler game.
Yeah, that was my best hit. It was a
peaked in high school, it was still a good hit, man.
Yeah, it was good. Sure I'm proud of that.
All right, one final question for you here in the 2 minute drill. We know, again, we talked about it being a matter of when and not if. We know that not only applied to you getting into the Hall of Fame, but how soon into your enshrinement speech can we expect this tough-hitting Texas linebacker to just start crying like a baby?
Pretty early.
Early and often, baby.
Yeah, once I start talking about family, I think.
Yeah.
If I get my mom and dad in there, I think it's going to get me, but I got to prepare for that because, you know, you don't get much time. You don't want to be up there sobbing. You know what I'm saying? And not getting words out.
Man,
people that don't know you, it's a linebacker. It's a linebacker.
I know. Exactly. I mean, this guy. I mean, come on, man.
Everybody knows you, Zach. Everybody knows you.
Well, bro. That was a 2 minute drill and 4.5 minutes juice. But it was worth every second of it. And a lot of jokes, a lot of fun. And I'm sure that's not going to stop with us. And if it ever does, I think we'd be disappointed. But all seriousness, you know, if we can take a second here and stop the jokes, really, really happy for you, man, and proud of you. And it was an honor for me to be some little small part of that journey. I tell Juice, class of 96, man, we'll never forget it.
Right.
And, you know, just excited for you. And I can't wait to see you up there in that gold jacket.
Hey, appreciate it. It's going to be a good time and can't wait. And you better be ready for the party, man.
Oh,
you
know,
come on.
You know I'm ready.
He's already made Seth,
He's going to be sleeping. I got this, Zach. I'm going to do it. He got bedtime, you know what I mean? But we got this, bro. I can't wait. I've already got my flight and everything. I can't wait. Looking forward. Me and my kids are coming.
It'll be good, man, to reconnect with everybody, right? So it's going to be fun, man.
Dude, I've got everybody's going to be there. So it's going to be real dope.
Awesome.
Real dope. Hey, thanks for diving in, Zach.
Yes, sir.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
I was Seth Living, Seth OJ, Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we okay, gotta dive up in that fish tank. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tails, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stars we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. Fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank. Dog fans with attitude, we about to dive up in that fish tank.